It is worthy of note that on the spiritual journey, what is the point? What actually differentiates a particular Christian from another one? Do you understand? Peter said we have like precious faith. That means we all appropriated the potential of the benefit of the cross. We all have received the spirit of grace that has sealed our spirit, and that is a down payment and a foretaste of the powers of the age to come. We all, as in a glass, is we all. As in a glass, we behold the glory of God. And as we behold that glory, we have been transformed from one dimension of glory to another dimension of glory as by the Spirit of God. So, what exactly differentiates one Christian from another Christian? The reason why I'm saying this, I don't want you to waste your time and be a hypocrite and think that God will come to deliver you. God will help you waste your time if you are a hypocrite. I saw one young man. He came some time ago and I was telling him the truth. This is what God wants from you. But he felt the things I was saying did not lend itself to stardom. He wanted the moon. He took off like a tornado. I just saw him recently. And I knew he didn't get the moon. He only lost many more things that he had. And he has come to start from the same spot. Haven't wasted his time trying to run the affairs of his life by himself. The Lord give you understanding. What differentiates one believer from another? Number one, stature. Now, I'm just trying to glean from what the evangelist has preached. One, stature. Stature is the position of favor that we assume before God because we have submitted to His discipline. It's a position of favor that we assume before God because we are submitted to His discipline, to the process that He subjects us to in becoming everything He has designed for us. Stature was what Elijah had when he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand." Stature. Stature is that which makes you have something in common with God. You are sharing something with God. You have something with God. Just like Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have with God, I give to you." Stature is that which gives you something with God, and you can make a withdrawal on that which you have with God because you have stature and standing before Him. Now, see, Elijah called down fire from heaven on the basis of before whom I stand. So you might be a believer, born again, you speak in tongues, but because you have not yet subjected yourself. Now, when God comes to chasten us, you know, we went to visit a sister before we came. We came back from the mission field and she insisted that we'll come to her place. We went there and she said, her Christian life is hard these days. Somebody's owing her money. She went there to ask for her money and came back and God began to rebuke her. Now, what kind of thing is this? Then I opened this same scripture that evangelists open now. I opened Hebrews chapter 12. Elijah is my witness. My wife is my witness. And evangelists move. God's voice is one. It's very easy to know a man of God. Very easy. That is if you are one. No? If we pipe from the belly of the same spirit, there will be confirmations and the gray areas of our lives will come to light by the operation of God's spirit in the vessel of a man that is accurate. And she was saying, every small thing she does these days, God will begin to rebuke her and say, you messed up here, you messed up there, that she's tired. I say, that is a proof that God loves you. Because the Bible says that anyone that is without chastening is a bastard. It means you have accepted Jesus as Lord, but you have rejected his discipline. It means you don't want to become what Jesus wants you to become. And there are many Christians like that. They don't have stature before God because they have decided to reject his process of making. Once upon a time, they gave their life to Christ, but they have decided to reject his process of making. So they are amorphous. They want to become their own creation, but yet hold on to salvation as an identity. That's abnormal and subnormal Christianity, but unfortunately, that's the version of Christianity that we have flooded across the face of this nation. Whenever you see the hand of the devil so strong in a particular territory, it means God's true men are few. In these days of Jehovah Shapshap, it's needful for us to tell you that God is given to process, even though he's in a hurry. He's not in a hurry about your life. The day you decide to become serious, he puts you on the chain and then he begins to discipline you. He tries to put you on a routine that will bring cover over your life. The average Christian does not feel he needs cover. So he does not subject himself to a routine that will make the purposes of God enlarge within his life. He likes going around looking for miracles, signs, wonders. If you decide to use your life to solve problems, you will solve problems until you are old. And you still have problems solving. Solving stuff. And so when we, I don't know, you see, we are different people with different callings. Amen. One of the things that God did not allow me to decide is dealings along in my life was intense when it came to money. God knows what has formed a stronghold in your life, a stronghold enough that can be a platform that the devil will use to manipulate God's destiny, God's purpose for your life. Now, I would like you to run your life under an inventory, under a searchlight. If the issue of contention between you and God is the same issue that was there 3 years ago, in the list of bastards, your name is on pencil. They have not printed it with... Now... They have not used the ink to, but there is tentative, it's on pencil, so that it will not be forgotten. One matter is lingering for 12 years because he has refused to subject himself to the discipline that God wants him to subject himself to, so that God can cut off that confidence. Maybe in your life, because of the way you grew up, the circumstances that were around you, money did not form a stronghold in your life. So maybe God's dealings around the corridor of money was not intense. Or maybe God ordained or destined that a high volume of money will pass through my hand for the kingdom. And so he decided to work on that aspect, so that I will not confuse the purpose for the flow of these resources. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I even saved for my wedding because I knew nobody will sponsor it, nobody will support. And the reason why I knew nobody will support was because my wife was not my tribe, and there's an unwritten law that you need to find somebody from the village. And from when I knew myself, I knew that I will never marry my tribe. It was there inside. It was a consciousness I grew up with. And all my years that I grew up, I was never close to any lady that was my tribe. So I knew it. So when it was clear to me that I was actually going to marry a lady from the West, I knew the implication, so I saved money. $1.5 million. Then God now spoke to me. I was in Benwell. He's coming back from a crusade. He said, go and gather all that money and give me. I said, no. Then for 3 days, the body started shaking. Then I took 500,000 and bought shares. It's because of my 500,000, the whole stock exchange market crashed. And my 500,000 in 2 months became 25,000. So when that one happened, I knew that. I brought the 1 million. And you know, those days I work with an Igbo man. After, at the end of the month, when he wants to give you your salary, his hand will be shaking. My hand was shaking. I gave the money, but for 3 days I had not given it. It was still my own. It was still my own. It took 3 days for me to release it. I've given it, but I did not work. All the money that you gave that you have not released today. It was a dealing. And God made me bear. And then he sponsored the wedding. We spent 6 million. And I came back with a car. And we say, God will say, you have done well. There's a need. Then I will say, no. Then every time I obey him, he rises up to the occasion. The pattern was so consistent that I discovered that it was no longer a risk to obey God's instruction financially. You see, he had now made me submit to his government in that area. So in financial issues right now, I am glad to tell you that I know God. Yeah. I did not know that a time will come where I will be the custodian of the stamp of the presidency on petroleum issues. And they can bring Ghana must go of 1 million, especially in November, December, when they want scarcity to come. So they will use you to create scarcity so that the prices can go up. Use their settle. Them through their what? Settle. Everybody's on queue from morning to night. That's their business. But we know how it happened, how the queue built up. And we are benefiting from the queue. Hallelujah. But because God gave me that dealing, when the time came, nobody, and I, in this depot, ever fought the mafia. We were the first people in 30 years to fight the mafia. First. It's on record. It will not, even in heaven, it's first people in 30 years to fight the mafia, and we fought it to a standstill. It was 4 years of fighting, and I never took bribe. Because there was a dealing that had taken place on domestic issues. That dealing was expanded. It began to affect territorial issues. And one day it will affect national issues. Now God has a purpose before he prescribed the dealing. And the level of stature you attain to is the degree to which you submit yourself to that dealing. It you acquire through that submission a position of favor so that you share something in common with God because you were subject to it. Christianity is prescribed in all its shades and colors in scripture. It's just that we have a backsliding generation. I don't know what version you accepted and why you are still in church, but I need to tell you something. God will not stop until you become like him. If your stomach is overdeveloped, he focuses his searchlight on your stomach. And he said, yours is the way of fasting. Yours is the blood of starvation. I don't know, amen. Malakope ikamo. Maybe for me, he may not require such level of fasting. But because your stomach, there's azote spirit is hanging there. There's akombo. Akombo is on the stomach. And so when they are just bringing food, and you are looking at the meat, they say, fast, 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 fast. And times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you stretch out and then you eat, you will now purge for 5 days. And your trouser that is 36 waist becomes 34. When you purge 3 times, you know if you purge the 4th one, you may not survive it. So you accept, not because you accepted inside, you accept to survive. That's a good way to start. And you are moving gradually until you now accept it from your heart. Then grace breaks out. And then suddenly, that altar, that weakness, that your stomach issue gives way. And then beyond the instruction, you discover a life, a realm that opened to you because you were ready to submit that altar. The Bible says that no one likes chastisement because it is grievous in the present time. But God says that it has the capacity to yield peaceable fruits of righteousness. Any man that claims to be a follower of Christ that doesn't have a scar of the dealings of God upon his life, he's a fraud and an impostor. He carries the emblem of the Antichrist. If you hear him speak and you hear between the lines and the lies, you will see Satan talking because he doesn't have the authentication. He doesn't have the approval to speak for God. A man that has not suffered for God should not speak for God. Our perspective of a preacher is a man that is behind a suit, a slick suit, electric suit. Oh my God, it's gliding everywhere. He knows how to pull the strings of your soul, and just in case you are signed in for murder, you are signed in to die. If you hear him speak, he gives you hope and you want to live again. That is not the portrait of a preacher. Because when you study in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, all the characteristics that reveal the word of God, and if you read all of them, is sharper than any two-edged sword. You will not see excitement there. Rather, the word of God is a piercing instrument. Because most of us have confidence in the creation that God has already judged. And he wants to bring you out of that creation so that you will not have confidence in that creation. And that's why when he looks at you, because of his love, he will pierce you so that you can abandon that faculty that will lead you to death. The Bible says that if we reject this chastening, we are bastards. What journey were you on that you abandoned? And you still believe that if you can pay your tithe and give seed, that will make up for your rebellion. I came to tell you that you have missed the way. And if you walk on that path for 10 years, you will find a slippery path. God gives you like 10 years of grace on the average in error before a major error will strike you. A fake man of God that doesn't know God will still be blessing you. You are blessed. And God won't kill him. Because the reason why God won't kill him is because he needs you to fulfill the full quota so that you can be fully snared. If you are doing something that is not accurate and you have gathered unto yourself soothsayers that speak to you to suit your flesh, to make you feel that you are okay even though you are dislocated. He said, make straight path for your feet. Make He didn't say God will make. He said what? Make. If there's crookedness, if you build your life on any form of crookedness, and you, he will leave you for 10 years. Because you decided not to make what? How many of you have been into famine and you have made a ridge before? The first time I tried to make a ridge, I ended up making a curve. I don't know if I've improved so much, but I remember the curve it was. Amen. Meanwhile, when you are doing it, you think it is ruler straight. But it's baffled. That's what, in 10 years, you will see what the cycle will be complete, and you will see the fullness of that which you have exerted yourself to do. You say what? Make straight paths. You take money that is not your money, and you didn't die. Instead of you to repent and forsake that way, you were light on yourself. You were not heavy on your, it wasn't heavy on your heart. Say, well, sometimes the great God overlooks the ways of men. And it might be that God opened this channel to bring redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It means that your heart has embraced unrighteousness. You have actually backslidden in your heart. It's easier to cure it when it's still a state of heart. But you see, when you now make it a method and a system by which your life will be ordered, and you refuse to insist that your paths will be straight, he won't kill you. You won't fall down suddenly and shake. But when you go 10 years and you see your way, don't hang in iniquity and think that God has changed his standard. The reason why Pharaoh was destroyed was not because warnings did not come. He was set in his ways. And God kept giving him a long road. God would have smitten him the first time that he tried to rebel. Allowed it. 12 plagues. Why did you think God gave him that rope? So even though God knew that he would not accept his rope, but he did it as a sign so that people can learn from it. The fact that it has not yet struck doesn't mean you are okay, especially if the paths are not straight. Whenever you see God judge something instantly, it's because he wants to kill an error. Now, follow me. You are not with me. David thought that he could modernize God's ways. God said that the ark should be borne upon the shoulders of men. And there had to be four guys that will bear the ark. Is that not so? When they went to bring the ark back into the city of God, he used Philistine technology. Because the Philistines were the guys that put the ark on the cart. Alright? And so, they did not change the technology. They just continued with the Philistine way and were dancing. They knew what was right, but they did not make the path straight. And they kept dancing and singing. The heart of David was right. The heart of the people were right. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The songs were good songs. The same songs that they sang that God came down. But there was something that was not right, and God will not overlook that. Don't think you can establish a nation on iniquity. God will strike. But before he does, he gives you time. And that's why he comes to confront you with discipline so that you can come into alignment. It's an act of love because he wants to harvest you as a son. That is a projection of his character. And these guys were just doing stuff. Then there was a gallop. Then the ark was about to fall. And Uzzah put forth his hand and he was struck. He died. It was when Uzzah died that they knew that something was wrong. But something was wrong all along. And they knew that something was wrong. Because David himself said the reason why Uzzah died. He said, we did not seek God after the due order. So they knew the order was not due, but they were there. Please, my friend, do not dance in the song when you know that the order is not right. There are several people that walked into this place. You know that God has been fighting an area of your life to bring you into alignment. If you are wise, you will know that that knock will not last forever. God killed Uzzah because an error was being born. What is the error? You know, God's purposes actually stopped in Eden. You are not with me. Listen to me. God's purposes actually stopped in Eden. How did I get that? In the book of Galatians chapter 3, the Bible said that the law was added because of transgression. Now, so the law was an addition. God was offering life and kingdom to Adam. Adam rebelled against God and declared independence. From that point, God could no longer walk. And then God began to show his purposes and his plans in types and in shadows. That's what we call the Old Testament. His purposes were hidden in types and in shadows until the ultimate season where his son came to bring back his purpose into the earth. Now, so everything he did between Eden and Christ was just manifesting his program and his intentions, his counsel in types, shadows, through men, through situations, through circumstances. And except you have the prophetic eye, you will not see the purpose of God playing out. Because it's difficult to see prophecy when it's standing in the legs of men. It's difficult to see the fulfillment of God's plan when it's displayed through the vocal cords of men. It's difficult to see it at that level, except you are under the influence of the prophetic spirit. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So all that happened was actually, in the Old Testament, was the purposes of God trapped into types and shadows. He was preaching his purposes. You get that now? Now, so God, in killing Uzzah, was actually showing us something. That the scenario had a potential that was bigger than what we were seeing at face value. Now, why God instructed that the axe to be borne upon the shoulders of all men was because in the fullness of time, the message of Christ is going to be captured by four men. And that's what forms the gospel. The gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, and the gospel of John. And whereas Matthew saw Jesus as the king, Mark saw Jesus as the servant, Luke saw Jesus as the substitute, and John saw Jesus as the life. These are the four dimensions of that which was playing out. And God had to stop Uzzah because, kill Uzzah, because David wanted to change the pattern. That it will no longer be born on men, it will be born on an animal. So Mark would have been a donkey preaching. Matthew would have been a cow preaching. So that's why Uzzah died. Uzzah died to stop the madness of the king. Uzzah died to kill an error. May Uzzah not die because you are dangling and you refuse to make a straight path for your feet. God has not changed. I saw many men of God that died. Not because it was written that they were supposed to die. And so many thrones are vacant. Not because God planned that the thrones will be vacant. But when your feet is, the path is not what? Can you put your right hand on your chest and plead with God? Oh God, if it be by vision, if it be by revelation, if it be by dream, show me where my feet have strayed. For you desire righteousness in the inward part. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults.
In Jesus' name.
Why did God kill Balaam? Balaam was a prophet that had the oil of God upon him. In fact, he was called the oracle of God. He was one of the few prophets in those days that saw the visions of God while it was still daytime. Most often, God spoke to the prophets, went through dreams and night visions. But Balaam had gained a step higher in the hierarchy of the prophetic, so much so that he was called the man that had his eyes open to behold the spirit realm even when it was still daytime. Why would God want to kill such a man? Do you know how long it takes to raise a prophet that can see visions in the daytime? That's a waste of investment. Why would God, that is so meticulous about the return on his investment, want to slay a man? A time comes when God has no choice. When even the best among his people will have to go out of the way. A time comes like that. Why did God kill Balaam? Because in his ways was an error. I don't know, but in my Bible study, I found that he was the first prophet that was given money to prophesy. And not just to prophesy, but to prophesy against the people that were in alignment with God. I hope you know a curse doesn't fall upon the man that is right with God. It can't fall. Whether it be a curse that was fabricated from Agrabe, it can't fall. If it was fabricated from the witchcraft coven, it can't fall once you are aligned with God. All the prayers we pray fall down and die. It will reduce if you are aligned with God. Let people die. Let their sleepers be cursed. It will reduce if you what? Aligned with God. Because the Bible says that the curse is costless. It shall not come. The realm of the spirit is legalistic. There must be a foundation upon which something will rest. The prince of this world cometh and he found nothing in me. But why did God kill Balaam? He took money to prophesy against people. That's an aberration. Can you see today that people take money to? You don't get it. Because of money, it was an error. And in the book of Revelation, that is error became a doctrine. You don't understand? In the day of reality, that thing, that trend has become a system. Now, it is a doctrine. The doctrine that gain is equivalent to godliness. And that's why a man can earn eldership just because he has a car. He can become part of the board of directors. Bishop, if he has the money to pay. If you can pay for the regalia. You pay for the cubicum cap. The one that covers the contour of your back head. Just in case you have it covered, doesn't mean there's an anointing on the head. In the name of Jesus. When you have not borne the cross of Christ, that seek to put to death the flesh and to enthrone God and his purposes, but you put a big golden cross on the stomach. Amen. The Lord give you understanding. Amen. Amen. Balaam had to die with his prophetic endowment. God had to quench him because he had created something. His error became a way from error, from no, his mistake became a way. Mistake of Balaam, way of Balaam, but in Revelation it was doctrine of Balaam. At the time it became a way, it means there were two approaches to the prophetic ministry. Either you wanted to be a prophet that was first, that was loyal to God, accountable to God, or a prophet that was a commercial prophet like Balaam. Because it's a way. So there are two ways in the prophetic. Either a commercial prophet
or the prophet according to the way of what? Balaam. You get it? But in the book of Revelation, it's a doctrine. It has been established that gain is equivalent to godliness. That can only happen when principalities and powers blind us and we lose sight of the real things. We lose sight of the true riches, and then we call money that which is the true riches. I know you may not like my gospel. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is this. There is a generation that is coming. That a generation, a new breed without greed. A radical opposition against corruption. In that generation, the cry of a king will be restored. When we see corruption in high places, it was condoned in the church. That's why it is widespread. Every societal infirmity has its roots in the church. That was what God revealed to Ezekiel. He said, you see all these stuff around? I want to show you the source. And he took him to the temple. And he saw the elders of the temple worshipping toward the east and weeping for Tammuz. It always begins from the house of God. That's what the Bible says, that a time has come where judgment will begin from the house of God. Because if God fixes his house, he fixes the society. I say a generation is coming. A generation is coming. A generation is coming. If God has a lot, he can judge Sodom. The church must present the accurate sample before judgment can begin in the land. Are you still with me now? God had to kill him. Even though God killed him, somehow the way of Balaam still came and the doctrine of Balaam still found expression. Normally, God gives you a long rope, especially if your error will not create a generational ripple effect. He said, no one loves chastening in the present time because it is grievous. But it worketh and giveth forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Tell your neighbor, go through the process. The first difference that you find among believers is that there are differences in stature. Because of the differences in stature, you will see that what we can do under the influence of God is different. Are you with me? How long what we have done will last will be different, dependent on the level of stature that is promoting it. I pray that a day will come when we can say like Peter, silver and gold I do not have. That is actually not the area of my specialty. Because if you tell a beggar that you don't have silver and gold, he feels you don't have anything. So he disappointed the beggar first and said, I don't have silver and gold. So maybe the beggar was expecting him to leave his way. He said, I have something. But this is what I share with God. In the name of Jesus, rise up. That was the first time I found a man, he did not have faith to be healed. He was not expecting. You know, when we come for our healing meetings, we say, faith, expectation, and we try to make it a textbook. Many times I studied when people got healed, I didn't find this stuff. It's because the preachers, most preachers these days don't have such as Peter claimed to have with God. So it is arithmetic. He's trying to cast the burden upon you, so that if you don't get to work, you'll not blame him. You didn't have faith enough. Especially in this faith movement, when we find somebody that has issues, normally the preacher says faith issues. Faith is lacking. That man had no faith to be healed. No message was preached to generate faith. He was not even expecting to be healed. But a man came upon the scene. The presence of God didn't seem to be there. He wasn't feeling anything. No nudging that suggested that the healing anointing was at work. He was just coming to fellowship at prayer time, casually. But even though it was as if the presence of God was fluctuating, it was not as intense as it used to be. That which he had with God was not fluctuating. A minister was preaching. And in the house, I say, you are wasting time. The cripples need to walk and go home. The minister, they say the presence has not yet come. In the house, I say, or do you want, the minister say the presence has not come. Or do you want me to go in the flesh? In the house, I say, watch me go in the flesh. He said, if you want to stand up, stand up. There was no presence on the crusade ground. Three cripples stood up. Those three people that stood up, it was not anointing. It's by that which he had with God. He said, if you want to stand up, what? Stand up. When the first three cripples stood up, the rest one said, oh my God. And everywhere became Manto Bakande. I believe God that as long as Jehovah lives, somewhere, if you want to stand up, my men of stature need to arise again. If they arise, all the noise around will be quieting, because they will bring down the hand of God. Don't stop where you are. There is a place yonder. You must take the next step. God wants you to come under the influence of mighty stature in him, in the name of Jesus. I intended to give us a few points just to glean the things that he taught us, but time fails us. I think God wants us to stop here. It's all about stature. That which you have with God is all about stature. That which is operational in your life on the account of that which you have yielded yourself to in the kingdom. I'd like you to rise up on your feet. I will not stop. I will not stop. Please don't stop where you are. Don't stop. There is a place in God that goes beyond what you have seen and known. God calls you. He places an invitation upon your life. He said, come, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Paleto Kosima. Aiga batan so brenda kabadashka balata. Brahendo kobalita. Braseka panda baratemo. Such as I have, I give you. What do you have with God? For a long time, men without stature have been the pastors of the greatest platforms around. Preached on the cable network. Preach everywhere. Biggest sound systems, horn speakers, and a generation of crippled people have arisen. When the Lord sits among his people, who will decide to hear the clarion call from the Spirit? Who will decide to stand when standing is not popular? Who will decide to take a mark when taking a mark means pain? I want to give you a prayer point quickly as we try to round up. Can you pray a prayer of dedication? Lord, I will go on even though I feel pain. Even though I feel pain. Even though I feel pain. No money to spend. No pot in the house. I will go on even though I feel pain. I will march on. I will march on. I will march on. Sopra chika balanta babala. Sepo kopeta ni makaske komina.
Raseko patawala stabelade. Rabedaskita sisasanama. Praila kapadaswa. Praila kasunena makatebo. Ba 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 sakata. I will press on. It might be fierce. It might be terrible. It might be full of afflictions. And I feel the scourge of tongues and pistols. But I decide to go on. I decide to go on.
I will walk with you.
Somebody sing, I will walk with you. And I will walk with you.
I will walk with you. your face.
Some people. Now, the reason why I want your eyes closed, except the ushers, is so that you will not be distracted. Some people will be called to higher levels of service in the kingdom of God, and He will purify. He will purify. Now, the power of God that will be moving right now is to purify. As they come down under the power, bring them forward. Bring them forward. It's to purify. It's to purify. It's to purify. It's to purify. He's purifying them for higher service in the kingdom. So pray. So pray. Impotule batune. Yes, yes, let the river Zima Kapotua Bray Tempo Bray La Kumpire Tuskaba Buda Teki Bakwa Sopena Baletuska Saita Banda Bata Kwakanamandu Zisa Panandaski Brasa Kopagina Liglomba Batuas Ibraska Batati Batubana Kapata Pula Kwase Labata is purified. It's purified. It's purified. The fire of purification. There's a river coming down from heaven. It's coming down so strong right now. The hand of God is breaking out so strong. Make my life. Oh, again, Spirit move over me, over me. Spirit move, Spirit move over me. And Holy Spirit. As I can see from the heavens,
is as clear as crystal. You cannot resist that river. And it's going to flow upon the hearts of men, purifying the vessels. For the Bible says that if any man shall purge himself of these, he shall become a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. It's coming strong. Don't be distracted. Palendo sita. Ebarakweto. It's a river that purifies. It purifies. It purifies. Sobrekete la bakanda babo. In Jesus' name. Listen to me, listen to me, listen. Listen to me. There's going to be a release right now. I can see 1, 2. Okay, I can see just 2 yet. For now, I can see 2. 2 people. 2 people in this hall that God is going to add another layer of anointing, because you have been on the field laboring. And God will add another layer. Bring that lady. Let me touch her hair. Just touch her. Bring this one. Bring this one. So that we can be fast. The time is not on my side. Don't worry. Many things will happen here this night. Oh my God. The Lord will help us. I don't know, but He will help us. He will help us. He will have to help us, because, all right, the Lord will have to help us. Okay. Oh my God. The Lord must help us. He must help us. Okay. I don't know how we are going to do it, but the Lord will help. 2 people in the hall. God will release another layer of anointing because you have been laboring. Father, from my left hand side to my right hand side, those people that have been on the field laboring, oh my God, is coming out of heaven already. They have been laboring. Lord, anoint them afresh for more labor in your kingdom. In your kingdom. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy Ghost. 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 Move. The Lord will help us. He will help us. But ompete la kuta baska beradama. Marakombej ovesa bakuta malaba. Somebody, your stomach is turning. It's just moving like that. Just, I command that stomach still in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Listen. 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 Just, if you can, just make them lie down so that they will not hurt themselves. Okay. There is a mighty opening in heaven now. Mighty. It's a mighty opening. God is adding another layer. Come.
Another layer, another layer of the apostolic grace upon your life. Also mixed with wisdom. Another layer of the apostolic. Another layer. In the name of Jesus. Now, sister, come. Just look at my eyes. Look. Look. Father, let there be a transmission from my eyes to her eyes. A transmission. Now, the heaven is so open. Listen. There's a young man here. Oh my God. I pray for that young man. God will be flowing, bring you into mighty finances. Mighty. Oh my Jesus. Now we are in trouble now. We're in trouble now already. Makampo Tobodo. Bring that young man. That young man, finances will flow through his life. Serious finances. Kobante Toske. It's flowing. Flowing. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's we don't. Makabare no kosete briala babaraba. Bring him on the put him up. Yes. It's so open. Father, this anointing that is upon your son, Samson, let it multiply. 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 In the name of Jesus. Kapunda! The heavens are open wide. Ask God for grace to help your weakness that will make you more spiritual. Don't ask for money now. That weakness you have seen in your life that is hindering you from advancing with God. Ask God for grace now, 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 now. 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 Opakapa. Opakapa. Okapakapasata. Okapatasaka. 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 Okaparasaka. Okapatabalaba. Okay. Listen to me. Listen to me. In Jesus' name. Listen. Let me tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a bottle of oil in the spirit realm. God wants to anoint one person. One. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. From my left hand side. From my right hand side. Anoint that one. Anoint that one. Anoint that one. Is coming. The anointing is coming. It's coming now. It's coming now. It's coming now. It's coming. It's coming. Kumpe kosi kabala. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Akanda da. Soprekete. I have to live here. Wow.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Help me now.
This road, lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. If you're on this road, lift your hand up. I saw the wind from heaven. And that wind only hit this side. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh my God, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming already. It's coming. It's coming. I feel it coming. I feel it coming. I feel it coming. Holy Ghost. 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 There is an impartation coming to that person. Please bring that person for me. Igabatami. My friend, come. Yeah.
Let's so that we can close. Just sit down so that we can close. Sorry, we need to close. We need to close. We need to close. We need to close. Yes. May the presence of God manifest in your life beyond the increase in the name of Jesus Christ. As it has pleased the Lord to begin to visit this land, your life will be remembered of Him in the name of Jesus. Drop her. He has not finished. Your life will be remembered. And God will perfect all that concerns you. I see a young man amidst us. Please, ushers. Now let's do something. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now I summoned my friend all the way from Kano. I want us to transport him back to Kano. Not just to pay the transport fare from Benue Links, the Benue Links fare. Hallelujah. But to put a seed in his hand. He will still be here tomorrow. He'll be here in the office from 9 a.m. to counsel as many people as need personal ministry. And the service will begin by 12 noon so that he can have time. He's a prophet. Doesn't speak except God utters it. Amen. Sees many things, but he says a few. But we'll give him time and set him on the run. Tomorrow, 12 noon. Hallelujah. And he'll be ministering like that from 12 to 7. By 7, I think we should have gone a long way. Now, but we want to cast a seed to transport him. So, in the light of that, offering baskets go around. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you want to give something that you don't have right here, you can bring it for the service tomorrow evening. Put it in an envelope, write it to the prophet from Kano. We'll know how to channel it. And God will be praised in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, listen to me. God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. The kind of people that you will despise when you look upon them. But the truth of the matter is that I've come to discover that the most important thing in life is grace. Grace. Grace can change an ordinary man and make him an extraordinary man. It's actually the resource base of the Spirit at work in the life of a man to produce an intention that is upon God's heart. And this day, God is making grace to abound. Because of the strange work that he wants to effect upon the face of the earth. This is not a good time for you to play church. It's a wrong time to play church. It's a wrong time just to maintain the motion. And not to sustain a commitment with God. That is beyond that the devil cannot threaten. By suffering, by poverty, by all of that. God will have you seek first the kingdom. He will have you give yourself to the kingdom first as a matter of priority. And when you do that, and you come to a point where you are doing it and not expecting anything, but you are grateful to God and full of gratitude to God that He has even called you and given you the privilege to serve in His kingdom. When you have reached that point, then He begins to command things, natural things that are required for the fulfillment of your divine purpose to come in your direction. Not before. That's God's way. So if you cannot prove yourself faithful before God, it means you are not trustworthy to handle kingdom resources, kingdom stuff, kingdom anointing. Hallelujah. And just in case there's a limitation in your life that is responsible for your spiritual stagnation, get desperate with God in fasting and prayer. Desperate, desperate, desperate. The yoke will break. Because any time your prayer begins to take you into the plane of restlessness, God doesn't like seeing you restless.
Because the only category of spirits that are restless are demons. So anytime your prayer starts getting intense and restlessness begins to come, God answers because he doesn't like you in that state. You get it? That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is a state of imbalance that is in the soul. He said, channel your anxiety to prayer and supplication. You understand that now? When you are bubbling in it and bubbling, the Bible said the throne will speak. The peace of God speaks into your soul and brings peace because God doesn't like seeing you what? Resting. That is what the Bible says. You will seek God and find him when you seek him with all your heart. Because at that point where all your heart is involved, there's a state of restlessness finds expression. At that point, God's answer is sure. So just in case you have been carrying the infirmity, carrying the sin, carrying the instability, and petting it. I lie yesterday, I lie. And you are petting it. It will grow and become a stronghold. But when you become desperate about it, and if there's a point you get to when you become restless, the yoke breaks. Isaac was counseling his son Esau because he loved Esau. That was the love of his life. He said, I'm sorry, I've given the blessing to your brother. You will serve him. But when you become restless, he was teaching him a spiritual principle. God doesn't like seeing his guys restless. When you become what? Restless, his yoke will break from off you. That one is a counsel of a spiritual man. He said, I know God, he doesn't like seeing. You will serve him, or that's your destiny. It has become so now because of my utterance. But let me show you a secret. When you become restless, his yoke will break because God wants to bring you into rest and equilibrium. Have you become restless about that issue? Every lady you see, you fall on, and you are not restless. You are saying, Pastor, I have only one problem, woman problem. That is a strange problem. It's not just one problem. I have a strange, like cancer, HIV. That's how. So the man that is going around with women say, I don't have any problem. I just have what? One problem. That problem, it's a strange problem. Become restless. If you have not yet gone to the point of restlessness, it means you like it. You have taken sides with it. You have not yet hated iniquity. Are you with me? We all had issues in our lives, and we still have a few to deal with even now. Hallelujah. But it's restlessness. You see that you stand, you fall, you stand, you fall. Why not come to the altar and lie and say, God, I dash you myself. And when, if Satan come to get me, but you find me at the altar, he will go. Because a man that is restless, God will not but respond. It's time to be restless. When you become restless, the yoke is broken. Because in the spirit, there is rest. When we come, maybe for the next meeting, I will show you the template, the topography of the spirit realm, and the implements of the realm of reality. How to? Then you see that actually life had a formula all this while. But we decided to master the flesh. That's why it was closed to us. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.